Well, I don't know much more information than what I just prayed about Taylor, but let's keep him in prayer as a church family. I trust that on Wednesday at the prayer meeting, we'll know more. They're waiting an upcoming surgery for her, and I trust and we pray that the Lord will have mercy upon Claire. So if you would, keep Claire in prayer. Well, boys and girls and children, we come to another study which is for you tonight. Children, I want you to know that much thought and prayer has gone into the sermon for you as well, not only for husbands and wives, but even for you young people, because I want you to know what God has designed for you, young girls, and the kind of wife that you are to be one day, and young boys, for the kind of woman that you want to look for one day to marry. For those of you that are single, divorced, widowed, this is a sermon for you as well. You might say, how? So that you would better know how to pray and encourage and hold the others accountable in the church family. And of course, certainly for husbands and wives as well, most certainly and most specifically to the wives tonight. And that's where we are. Our study tonight in Ephesians 5 has given us part 3 of the role of the wife in marriage. Next week, we will come to the husband's role. But tonight, part 3 for the wife, the godly wife's respect for her husband. You're in Ephesians 5 in your Bible. Follow with me. And just let your eye look at the very last verse of Ephesians chapter 5. We're kind of skipping to the end, but that's okay, as we still continue our study on the duty of the Christian wife. Verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. But here it is. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Bethany and Bob were getting ready for church on a Sunday morning. Bob had gotten dressed, topped off his coffee, grabbed his keys, and was about to go start the car. Bethany glanced down the hallway of their apartment and she saw Bob. And she noticed his interesting, mismatched choice of clothing. And she blurted out, "You're not going to wear that to church, are you?" And he stopped. He paused. And what followed was a difficult interchange, because he wasn't joking. Those were the clothes that he really was going to wear to church. He really was going to wear that outfit. He responded, "What's wrong with it?" And Bethany went on to tell him all the problems with his fashion decision for that morning, just an hour before they were going to go and worship the heavenly King together. Later on, Bethany was reflecting on this, and she said, "The question that I asked made him, my husband, feel foolish. It was apparent that in my question, I thought that he looked absolutely ridiculous. And there was no gracious way for him to change his tie without looking foolish, dishonored, shamed, embarrassed." She wrote this: "As his God-given suitable helper and God and his loyal friend, God has given me to be his helpful wife. He needs me to be his helpmate, not his sarcastic put down." What an interesting line. My husband needs me to be his helpmate, not his sarcastic put down. A Christian wife in this room, I want you to know tonight that God has designed you in the Word of God to fulfill a threefold function, a threefold task in the covenant of marriage. Number one, we looked at it the last 2 weeks. You are to be the suitable helper for your husband. And then you are to be wholeheartedly submissive to your husband. You're the helper that God has given to your husband to complete him, according to Genesis 1 and 2. Also, Christian wife, you are to be wholeheartedly submissive to your husband. But there's a third duty and a third function that God has given to Christian wives, and that is for you to be selflessly reverent to your husband. Selflessly reverent to your husband. It's right here in the end of Ephesians 5. You see it in your Bible. The wife must see to it that she respects her own husband. So everything that I'm going to say tonight is sort of fleshing out the end of verse 33, but it really doesn't begin there. Let your eye look up at the end of verse 21. Remember, about a month ago, we were looking at being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit and these five results of a Spirit-filled life. Look at verse 21 of Ephesians 5. And if you're Spirit-filled, you will be subject to one another. How? In the fear, in the honor, in the reverence for Christ. Your fear of the Lord and your heart disposition to honor your Savior, Christian wife, will fuel your respect for and your honor toward your husband. It's like Jehoshaphat, who told all of the workers in ancient Judah, you are to do the work in the fear of the Lord, wholeheartedly and faithfully. 2 Chronicles 19:9. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111:10. It is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26. The fear of the Lord is joined to humility. Proverbs 22:4. Even Jesus, the prophesied servant in the book of Israel, he in the book of Isaiah, he modeled a life delighting in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. You see, our text tonight is going to give a clear clarion call to every Christian wife, every Spirit-filled wife, to be respecting her husband. And again, what I want to say is what I've said every week thus far as we've been looking in Ephesians, is your conduct, Christian wife, your conduct is to be built upon the call of God upon your soul. That is to say, your position in Christ is what energizes you. It's what enables you to live out your practice, your godly conduct in Christ. And you know what? In our day, we desperately need truth. In our culture, in our society, in our land, we need truth. Men and women, boys and girls, we desperately need truth. Oftentimes, you can see the frustration and the pain and the hollowness in so many eyes that tell the story of many women who sadly are in these marriages and they just feel disappointed and they feel discouraged in life. Many women feel traumatized by circumstances that have fallen far short of their hopes and their dreams of the perfect marriage. As far as many women are concerned, life just isn't working as I had thought. What do I do now? Where do I go? Where do I turn? What now for me? Because my marriage isn't meeting my expectations. I want to encourage you and give you hope from Romans 15:13. Paul says, now may the God of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear that tonight. Christian wife, I want you to hear the God of hope. I want you to understand that the God of hope is with you. He is for you. He is helping you, and he will fill you with joy and peace in believing. Now, we have seen Christian wife in previous weeks that you were to be the suitable helper for your husband, that you were to be wholeheartedly submissive to your husband. But tonight what I want to do is sort of flesh out what I have perceived to be the next point in the Ephesians 5 outline here on the duty of Christian wives. If you're taking notes, the last couple of weeks we talked about being wholeheartedly submissive. Being wholeheartedly submissive. Tonight we're going to look at being selflessly reverent. That's the main point tonight. Everything that I'm going to say is going to help us understand what it means for the Christian wife to be selflessly reverent. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the exhortation. Here's the call of God for you to be reverent. And then I'm going to give a lot of application and a lot of implementation on the practical of how to do it. So how do you journey through life? Safely, wisely, enjoyably, and obediently. How do you get to heaven with a holy and happy and a godly marriage? Boys and girls, men and women, church family, here's the answer. Follow God's directions. Follow the GPS that is clearly put before you in the inspired, in the infallible, in the clear, in the unchanging Word of God, the Bible. Boys and girls, you know this, but many of you have a Bible there with you. This is the greatest treasure in the whole world. It will guard you and guide you and protect you through life. Remember, men and women, last week we talked about being wholeheartedly submissive. And just a quick reminder, being submissive, what is submission? We talked about how that means for you, Christian wife, to place yourself under the authority of your husband. That's what it means to submit. It doesn't mean that he's more important than you, or he's smarter than you, or he's better than you. Or it doesn't mean that. It means that there's a role, there's a function that you are to place yourself under the God-appointed leader in your life. Second, to be wholeheartedly submissive, to whom do you submit? That is your own husband. Not every man in the whole world, but your own husband is what Paul talks about here. Third, Christian wife, how do you submit? As to the Lord. As an act of worship to the Lord. As you would to the Lord to please your God. Fourth, why do you submit? Why do you submit? Because your husband is the head of the home. Just like Christ is the head of the church. God's appointed and perfect and grand design is that there is a leader in your home, and God's declaration is that your husband is the leader. So how? How do you submit? Number five, like what? What's the example? And we saw last week as the church submits to Christ. Just as the church is obedient to Christ and we seek to follow him and submit to Christ, so the wife ought to follow and submit to her own husband. And number six, how much? What's the extent of my submission? The Christian wife might say, and verse 24 ends in everything. Obviously not sinful commands or sinful duties or sinful requests, but in everything. Be wholeheartedly submissive. But tonight, what I want to do is give you the second main point. Christian wife, God calls you to be selflessly reverent. He calls you to be selflessly reverent. Now, I want you to look in your Bible at verse 33 because I want to bring out something that I think is helpful. You see, we've been talking to the wives, plural. Verses 22 to 24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. The wives ought to submit to their husbands in everything, plural. But look at verse 33. The wife, singular, must see to it that she respects her own husband. It's almost like now there is the emphasis of individual responsibility. It's like the Lord. It's like the Lord comes to you, Christian wife, and he gently puts his hand on your shoulder. And like the good and loving bridegroom and shepherd, he tenderly reminds every single wife, every single one of you in this room, here's your role. Here's your role. And remember, verse 21 talks about how we are to fulfill our roles in the fear of Christ. Now at the end, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. It's like the beginning and the end are all bracketed by fear, honor, respect, and reverence. So let's jump in to the meaning of the phrase, be selflessly reverent. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you two kind of sub-points as we talk about being selflessly reverent. And the first is simply the exhortation. The exhortation. What does it mean? What does it mean to be selflessly reverent? Well, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. I have a book on my shelf by a Puritan, Richard Steele, who lived in the 1600s, and he said, the great duty of the Christian wife is to respect her own husband. This is her peculiar qualification as a wife. Interesting. The peculiar qualification as a wife to respect your husband. Now, the King James Bible has at the end of verse 33 that she ought to reverence her husband. The NIV, NASB, ESV has respect her husband. Another English translation has she ought to treat her husband with respect. But let me just say something real quick. This has nothing to do with his role to earn respect. It has everything to do with your choice to give it. It's not about the husband deserving it. It's about your obligation from the Lord to obediently give respect to your husband. Christian wife, you might be smarter. You might be wiser. You might be more gifted than your husband, but you're still called to respect the leadership position that God has given to your husband. Christian wife, you might have the brains, the degrees, the academics, the training, the common sense skills. But he's still the leader. And you're still called by God to respect your own husband. That same word for respect also occurs earlier in verse 21. We've already seen it, but look at it again. Ephesians 5:21. Be subject to one another in the respect, in the fear, in the honor of Christ. And then again at the end of verse 33, the wife should respect her husband. Look at chapter 6 and verse 5. Look at chapter 6 and verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear. There's the same word, with reverence. So even toward masters, even as a worker, the attitude of that worker must be with reverence, with honor, and with trembling in the sincerity of the heart to Christ. Obey the masters with fear, Ephesians 6 says. We also read later on in 1 Peter, we looked at this last week, but in the section on submitting to your husband in 1 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice how Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 2 that the godly wife must respect her own husband, must submit to her own husband, so that even if they are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Look how, 1 Peter 3:2, as the husband observes your chaste and respectful behavior. What does God want for the Christian wife, whether he's a believer or a non-believer? God's call is for the Christian wife, the Spirit-filled wife, to have chaste and respectful behavior. Now back to Ephesians 5, you're to respect your husband. The word respect means to fear. It means to reverence. It means to treat someone as special. It means to admire your husband exceedingly. It's a word closely connected to love. The fear of the Lord is often connected with love for the Lord. And that's how this is used here. The Christian wife should see the responsibility of the husband has, and she ought to respect him and love him and pray for him and respect his needs and provide for his desires. That's the idea of what it means to respect your husband. The common Greek grammar on this Greek word says to respect your husband means a profound measure of respect. It means you have a great fear of offending your husband. You see, it's describing a Christian wife who profoundly respects her husband, and she genuinely does not want to dishonor him. She genuinely does not want to offend him. That's the idea of what Paul and what God is saying to every Christian wife at the end of Ephesians 5 and verse 33. Now, let me just remind you that the wife's respect for her husband is an outflow of her respect for her Lord. Remember Leviticus 19:14, "You shall revere the Lord your God. I am the Lord." Psalm 111 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And Acts 9:31, "The church went on in the fear of the Lord." In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, "We are to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God." In Revelation 15:4, "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name?" So Christian wife, as you fear and honor and respect your heavenly bridegroom, your respect for, your honor for your earthly bridegroom will flow out of that. I want to show you this. Take your Bible and just turn over a little bit to Colossians chapter 3. I think this is so helpful and so clarifying for us because as we come to Colossians chapter 3, again, Paul's talking about your new life in Christ. The new life that you can put on the new self and put to death the deeds of the flesh. But look with me at Colossians 3, verse 16. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with all psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now look at verse 17. "Whatever you do." You know this verse. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Look down at verse 23, Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." And then guess what? Sandwiched right in between those two verses is the role of the wife. In Colossians 3:18, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Christian wife, whatever you do, whether in word or whether in deed, you can do all things, even the smallest of things, for the glory of God. All of your words, all of your deeds, even the smallest of them, can be done for the glory of God, including the respect and honoring of your husband. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Respecting and honoring your husband, it glorifies and it obeys God and it blesses your husband. Because insofar as you, Christian wife, respect your husband, it expresses your trust in him. And ultimately in your God who gave him to you. In respecting and honoring your husband, it affirms your husband that he can persevere and he can do the difficult things because you're on his side and you're with him and you're faithfully standing with him through the difficult times. The more that you honor and respect your husband, it acknowledges and supports his leadership. It discourages his passivity. The more, Christian wife, that you honor and respect your husband, it encourages him and it propels him to want to love you more. You see, it's like in Proverbs 31, when the Proverbs 31 wife respects him by doing him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a great example. What a great example for the godly wife that we read in Proverbs 31, that she does him good and not evil. That's respect. This is a woman who fears the Lord and she shall be praised. Proverbs 31, verse 30. So very clearly, back to Ephesians 5. Go with me there in your Bible. Ephesians 5:33. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. You say, Jeff, I got it. I understand it. I must respect my husband. Hold him in high esteem. I don't want to offend him. I get it. But how do I do it? What does it look like in my life? I've shown you the exhortation. Now let's look at the implementation. We've looked at the principle of respecting your husband. Now let's look at the practicals. Very practical in the time that remains for us. No shock to you, but we live in a very me-centered society. We live in a self-absorbed culture. Kind of a me-first society. Who among us wants to revere, who wants to honor someone else in authority over us? We actually see a lot of that sinful attitude going on around us nowadays. I have a verse. And the verse is Romans 12 and verse 10. And Romans 12 verse 10 says, give preference to one another in honor. Or as the ESV puts it, outdo one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now, I want you to hear that. That is such a profound verse. What a way that Paul is writing to the Roman believers in Romans 12 and verse 10. And he says, I want you, believer, to outdo one another in showing honor. I want you to give preference to one another in showing honor. Let that be the banner across every Christian relationship and every marriage, that we want to outdo one another in honor. So how do you do this? Christian wife, let me see if I can help you think through this. As a biblical counselor, I want to give you some heart-probing questions, okay? Some heart-probing questions. I want to begin by targeting your heart. I want to aim at the inner you for just a moment. Christian wife, ask yourself this question. Do I allow my husband the freedom to make decisions? Or do I always insist that my way is better? Or Christian wife, you could ask yourself this question. Do I treat my husband like he's a child, incapable of doing anything right, and sort of reminding him of that from time to time? Or Christian wife, ask yourself, do I belittle my husband's efforts? Do I belittle his efforts? However few those efforts might be, however meager those efforts might be, to be the leader of the home, do I belittle him in that? Christian wife, ask yourself, do I punish my husband with words of silence when I don't get my way? When I want something, but I don't get something, how do you respond? Christian wife, ask yourself this question. Do I insult my husband's intelligence and his dignity with words of sarcasm or cutting remarks or put downs or anger and angry responses? Christian wife, ask yourself this question. Do I harbor any anger or any resentment or any bitterness toward my husband at all? Do your unfulfilled desires or your unverbalized expectations, do they have a foothold in your heart at all? Christian wife, you could ask yourself, do I live patiently with an imperfect man, allowing God to grow my husband as the head of the home? Sanctification is a process. It takes time. Or maybe, Christian wife, you could ask yourself this question. Why do I struggle with respecting my husband? Why do I want what I want so bad that I'm not respecting him at a particular moment? Is this thing so important that I'm not respecting him because I want this? Is what I want so bad helpful for us to advance in holiness? all kinds of ways that you can probe your heart and ask yourself, am I respecting my husband? Do I really genuinely, internally, from the heart, have a respect and an honor for the husband? For example, one day Betsy was blow drying her hair. It was early one morning and her husband came up the stairs and asked if she could help him find something before he had to go to work that day. And of course, the first and the fleshly thought was, can't you tell that I'm busy right now? Can't you tell that I'm blow drying my hair right now? Just wait. I'll be done in a while and then I'll come to you. But perhaps a less selfish and a better option would be to say, sure, I'll be right there in just a moment. Betsy turns off the blow dryer and then she goes and she helps and she serves her husband. And then she comes back to finish in a little bit. So, Christian wife, the question is, well, how do I do this? I get the heart-probing questions. I get the illustrations. I get that I ought to do this, but help me understand how to respect my husband. Let me give you two bad examples first. The first bad example is Job's wife in Job chapter 2. Here is her husband suffering. They've lost their children. They've lost their money. They've lost their source of income. All their cattle and their animals are dead. His own health is gone, and she committed this appalling act of disrespect when she said to him, curse God and die. Just be done with this thing, Job 2, verse 9. Or another example of disrespect and dishonor is found in King David's wife, Michal. In Michal, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, when David, remember this, David was full of exuberant joy, bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, back to the city of David. And he's dancing before the Lord with all of his might, and she scolds him. She scolds him sarcastically over what he's doing. She despised him in her heart. The text says in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So I guess we could say it like this. One way then, Christian wife, that you could respect and show love and honor to your husband is to remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, love is not rude. Love is not rude. You see, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly. Commenting on this, one woman said hormones, weariness, even illness are still not justification before God to be disrespectful to my husband in any way. This Christian writer says, be cautious of your words. Be cautious of the tone of your voice. Be cautious of your countenance. Be cautious of your facial expressions as you speak. And then she goes on to say, the Lord who lives in you will help you. He will help you. Imagine with me, there's a Christian couple in the church who plans to have another family over for dinner. They want to have a family over for dinner on that Saturday night. And earlier that day, the lady is cleaning and she's preparing and she's cooking and she's planning for the night of hospitality. But she wants a little bit of help. But the husband is on the couch over there watching Saturday football. And she, in a moment of frustration, she snaps at her husband and she says to him, why don't you help me instead of just sitting there watching your TV? It must be nice to do whatever you want. I just can't believe you're not more thoughtful than this. Well, if you think about that scenario and how that would unfold, that Christian wife has just been rude. She's been impatient. She's been unloving. And in that moment, she's been blatantly disrespectful to her husband. She could have said what she wanted to convey in a different way, in a different tone, using different words, seasoned with humility and grace. I think of it like this. In Proverbs 16:21, sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. You know, in communication, certainly in respect, I think there's three T's to remember. Number one, the text. The text. Be careful what you say. Be careful of the words that you say. But not just the text. The second T is the time. Be careful when you say it. You know, there are good things to say, but sometimes the wrong time to say it. So guard the text, guard the time. Third, guard the tone. The tone. Guard how you say it. Guard how you say it. And I think there's a good lesson for all of us, but in particular here tonight, as we're dealing with the Christian wife, endeavor to honor your husband in the text that you say, the time when you say it, and the tone how you say what you say to your husband. You know, Christian wife, maybe if I could kind of drive this point home for us. Your respect for your husband, your honor for your husband, or lack thereof, speaks volumes about your view of God. It speaks volumes about your view of God. Because think about it like this, ladies, your God has chosen you. Your God has predestined you. Your God has adopted you into His family. Your God has justified you all by His grace. He's regenerated you and changed your nature. And now this same God who saved you has empowered you to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. And now this great and loving Savior calls you to follow Him and to serve Him and to obey Him. I think a Christian wife expressing gratitude, expressing honor, expressing respect and care for your husband is really to express honor to God who's at work in your husband in that time. May it be that God would help the Christian wives to honor their husbands. But somebody might say, yeah, but I don't think he deserves it. He's not earned my respect is often a common response that you hear. But Ephesians 5:33 says the wife is to respect her husband, period, with no excuse, no if. The wife is to respect his position as being the husband, according to 1 Corinthians 11, because he's the head. The wife is to act in a respectful manner toward her husband, as we see modeled in Proverbs 31:23. Take your Bible, go back to Proverbs 12. Back to Proverbs chapter 12. Now, I have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, the beginning part of the verse, but I want to focus on the end of the verse here. In Proverbs 12:4, the excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Praise the Lord for the excellent wife who is the crown of her husband. So look at the end of Proverbs 12:4. But the one who shames her husband is like rottenness in his bones. Rottenness in his bones. The Hebrew word for rottenness means decay. It means to smell, to stench. Something hurtful, something painful, something unpleasant. But God's call for you, Christian wife, is for you to respect your husband. Let me give you a good example of this. Take your Bible and go back with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, as we talk about the example of respecting your husband, I'd like to draw our attention for a minute to Bathsheba. Now, we often talk about Bathsheba kind of in the context of her adultery. But right here in 1 Kings chapter 1, there is an amazing account of respect. Amazing account of a woman who honors her husband. She is none other than Bathsheba. Now, here's the context of 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 15. There's a huge problem in ancient Judah. There's a huge problem. And the problem is King David is about to die. He's old. He's on his bed. He's going to die soon. But David's son Solomon has already been anointed king. But there's another son who's trying to usurp the throne. And the other son is Adonijah. He's pridefully, arrogantly trying to take the kingdom away from Solomon. It's a big problem. There's lots at stake. It's urgent. We need to act quickly. Moreover, Adonijah is right down the hill at Ein Rogel. That's just right down the hill. You can hear the trumpet. You can hear the screams. He is usurping the kingdom. Picking up right there, looking at 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 15. So Bathsheba goes into the king in the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. Look at verse 16. Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king. Did you see that? They're married. But yet in this moment, in this instant, with such a humble and respectful and honorable disposition, she actually, the Hebrew word means face to the ground, nose to the ground. She is bowing low in respect before her husband. Look at verse 17. The king says, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "My Lord." Do you see that? "My Lord." What humility. What kindness. "My Lord, you swore to your maidservant." That's her. Do you see how Bathsheba is even calling herself, "I'm your servant. I am a maidservant. You swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, 'Surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne.'" Oh, she says, "My Lord, my master, my leader, my authority, you have swore by the Lord your God to me. I'm just your maidservant. I'm a humble servant." What a humble, what a respectful disposition Bathsheba modeled toward David the king. Well, look at what happens in verse 18. Adonijah is the king. "And now, behold, my lord the king, you don't even know it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and he has invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army. But he has not invited Solomon." Of course, because Solomon was the anointed king. Verse 20. "As for you," look at it, "my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come about as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders." Do you see what Bathsheba's doing? She is so humble in her heart, respect, in her honor, in her disposition of her husband. Three times she calls him, "My Lord the King, my Lord the King, my Lord the King." At the very end of the account, look at verse 31. "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground, and she prostrated herself before the king, and she said, 'May my Lord King David live forever.'" Do you see the heart attitude of honor here? Do you see the heart attitude of respect here that Bathsheba demonstrates toward David? So, Christian wife, you say, "I get it. I want to respect my husband. Not because he deserves it, not because he says he demands it, but because that's the high calling that God gives to you, Christian wife, to respect and honor your husband." So how can you do this? Well, number one, you can make the home a warm and inviting place. A place of encouragement, a place of comfort, a place of understanding and refuge. Husbands want homes to live in, not showrooms to visit. A second way, Christian wife, that you can respect your husband is be trustworthy. Be dependable. Be faithful to him. Don't make jokes at his expense. Ever. Not in private nor in public. Make jokes about your husband that would demean him. Third, maintain a good attitude. Maintain a good attitude. Smile and greet your husband when he comes home from work, when you first see him. To smile and greet him in an honorable and in a respectful way. Another way, Christian wife, that you can respect your husband is to discuss the things that are lovely and open and honest with him. Let your mouth pour out sweet aromas of blessing and respect as you talk to him. Another way, Christian wife, that you can be respectful of your husband is to be satisfied where God has you in life. Be satisfied where God has you. Here's the key word, content. In the marriage, whether your financial condition is tight, whatever season of life you might be in with the children, whatever kind of situation you might find yourself in, to be content, to be satisfied where God has you. That's a way to show honor to your husband. Another way to show honor to your husband is to be patient, to be forgiving, to be tender-hearted toward him. That's what Paul prayed for all the believers, certainly including the Christian wives. Another application, Christian wife, how do you show respect and honor to your husband? To show an interest in his problems, to show an interest in his concerns, making eye contact with him while communicating and listening to him, to listen and encourage and follow up and pray with him, pray for him, to reassure him, to remind your husband that you're in this together with him. You're on the same team together. Another way, Christian wife, that you can respect your husband is to offer suggestions and advice and counsel and corrections when needed in a loving, timely, and gentle fashion. Another way, Christian wife, that you can honor and respect your husband is to seek to be as attractive to him as you possibly can be in the eyes of the husband who loves you. Certainly on the outside, but prioritize the inner beauty of the heart as well. Christian wife, one way that you can respect and honor your husband is to maintain a good and vibrant and healthy spiritual life. You see, your fear of God is what ignites a fiery zeal to respect your husband. So one way to honor him is to keep your spiritual life going and vibrant and healthy. Another way that you can respect your husband, Christian wife, is to contact him via email or call or text. Let him know that you're praying for him, you're thinking of him. Check and see if he has any prayer requests for that particular day. Let him know that you're thinking of him. Certainly you can honor your husband by being loyal to him, by being faithful to him, being single-minded to him. Let your heart be won by your husband, by his touch, by his person, by his charm. Another way that you can show honor and respect to your husband is by being grateful. By being grateful to him, verbalized to God in prayer, and verbalized to him personally, and verbalized about him, even to the children and others as well. Another way to honor and respect your husband is by speaking well of him and affirming his character. Affirming his character. In fact, try it daily, one time a day, to specifically and verbally affirm one thing that your husband has done. To respect him, to honor him, not flatter him, but affirm him in his Christian growth. One woman was counseling another Christian woman, and she said, a respectful wife will not tolerate bad talk from the children about their father. She won't tolerate it. She won't permit it at all. What a testimony for a girl to grow up and have a memory. As she looks back and she says, I never remember my mom ever speaking a critical word about my dad. She genuinely spoke well of him. She respected him enormously. What a practical way, and what a great legacy to leave behind to honor your husband. Another way, Christian wives, you can honor your husbands is by initiating intimacy with them. Your husband likes this. He wants this. He desires this. And one way you can honor him is by fulfilling him. Because Christian wife, hear it again. You're the only woman in the world, in the whole wide world, that your husband can legitimately enjoy himself sexually by serving his wife and you serving him. Next, another way to show honor to your husband is by showing confidence in his decisions. You're trusting God and you're believing the best, even when you might think, I'm not sure how this is going to work out. When you honor him and you honor his endeavors to lead spiritually, you encourage him. However imperfect that endeavor might be, however simple you think that desire might be for him to lead spiritually, encourage him and honor him in those desires to lead spiritually. It's like a wife who was married 25 years and she confessed, I regret that I made a mistake that I wish I could take back. One night my husband had suggested that we read a particular book together during family worship. She said, my instant reaction was, that's not a good idea. And she loudly voiced her opinion immediately, negatively, publicly, resolutely. And she said, I immediately regretted it. I wished I could have taken those words back. But I had to ask for his forgiveness. I had to ask for his forgiveness in dishonoring his leadership in that moment, in wanting to lead the family in family worship. And you know what? Praise God, Christian wife, and all of us here in this room, praise God that we serve a God of forgiveness. Praise God that we serve a God who is full of mercy and lavish in love. I was reflecting on my sermon notes and praying through it the other day, and I thought, you know, Christian wife, let me just remind you, you are not running the life of Christianity toward the finish line of victory. You're running the Christian life from the finish line of victory. You're forgiven. The work has been done. God has accomplished all that is needed in saving you. His forgiveness is a full forgiveness. His forgiveness is a complete forgiveness. The forgiveness of God is a promised forgiveness. The forgiveness of God is an accepted forgiveness. You receive it, you accept it, and you delight in this. Forgiveness that God offers means, Christian, that you're God's delight. He delights in his children. We've seen many examples tonight of what it is to honor, what it is to respect, what it is to show great love and care for your husband. But as we draw this to a close, I want you to take your Bible and turn to one more scripture, and I'll close with this. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. And really, as we close here, I want to leave you with one example before you from the book of Ruth that shows you the honor, the reverence, the fear, the respect that she has for Boaz. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. He's the one that is going to redeem her. So what do we have? Well, in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, essentially we have the counsel from Naomi, her mother-in-law, for her to go to the threshing floor and lay down at the feet of Boaz. To lay down at the feet of Boaz. And you and I might think, what a weird thing. You know, why go to the threshing floor and why lie down at the feet? There's a different culture, okay? There's different cultures. Look at verse 6. So Ruth went down to the threshing floor, and she did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Verse 7, when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she, Ruth, came secretly, and she uncovered his feet and laid down. It's shocking to me how many people take this as a seductive, provocative act. nothing could be further from the truth. This was not seductive. This was not provocative, because in the ancient Near Eastern culture, the very action of Ruth right here is a gesture of total submission. Humble honor. She uncovers his feet and she lays down at his feet. Look at verse 9. And he says, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid." Literally, "I am Ruth, your servant. I'm your servant." Verse 10, then Boaz says, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after other young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." You know, what's interesting about the end of Ruth 3, verse 11, a woman of excellence, it's the exact same phrase as Proverbs 31, an excellent wife. You are a woman of excellence. You're a virtuous woman. You are a godly woman. So in verse 14, so she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose before anyone could recognize another. And then he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." She was so patient. She respected him. She waited. She was humble. She was an excellent woman. You see, in the marriage context, every excellent woman, is a woman who selflessly respects and honors her husband. That's what Ruth models right here, out of her reverence for Christ. So I guess we could conclude by saying that Ruth models the excellent woman. And ladies, you can do this. Young girls, if God has you to be married one day, you can do this. You can do this. Spirit-filled, word-filled women of God, you can do this. Why? Because Ephesians 1:19 says that you have the surpassing greatness of God's power at work in you who believe. What a great God. What a great God who gives you, Christian wife, the surpassing power of His Holy Spirit so that you can live this out in your Christian life. 3 weeks on being a godly, spirit-filled wife. Men, it's our turn next week to begin the journey together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, O God, that you, even in your word, have told us so clearly how husbands and wives ought to live. But it's not just all of these commands. It comes out of reverence for Christ. It comes out of our fear and honor and respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, cultivate not only in the women here, but Lord, cultivate in the men. Cultivate in every believer a greater reverence, a greater fear of the Lord, that would ignite and inflame our holy living, we pray, for the glory of Christ. Amen.